Hey friends, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment I'm going to give you just a sermon I'll be preaching this weekend. Five keys to overcoming doubt. You know, I think all of us go on what I call faith journeys at times. We begin a journey of faith in God, and usually what prevents us coming to full course, what prevents us from accomplishing the thing we're believing for, is doubts come into our life so often. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, some people have made shipwreck of their faith. It's like a ship started from point A and somewhere along the journey, a storm thing hit it and it sunk. And so often doubts can sink our faith. And I have learned, and I want to share with you, some really powerful keys to overcoming doubt. So don't go anywhere. A few quick practicals as usual. I'm here in the glorious sunshine in Sturbridge today. Blessed to live here. Hey, if you're new to my YouTube channel, thank you for being here on my ministry. Do check out my website, gjm.org. Please consider hitting the subscribe button down there. Hey, I want to say a big thank you to all of our new subscribers. I think I just saw we've hit 113,000 and we're getting about 400,000 views a month at the moment of our videos. So really appreciative of that. I'm believing by God's grace to hit 1 million views a month in the next year with this channel. So appreciate that. Secondly, I want to say a big thank you to all of the friends and partners of my ministry. Partners are those who come and co-labor with us in the work of the gospel. I believe every Christian should be committed to a local church, but I think every Christian should also be committed to people on the mission field. So there's a lot of people who can't go to many of the places I go, but they partner, they pray, they contribute, they send, they receive, they give. So why not pray about becoming a partner? Link below, and we have lots of benefits for our partner group. And lastly, if you are not yet a Christian, I'd love to talk to you about how to become a Christian. I have a video, I think there's a link below, on how to become a Christian. And if you need any help or you've got struggles with that, let me know. And we will talk to you about Jesus. So I'm going to put my sunglasses on. It's a little dark here, if you excuse me. So let's talk about doubt. Let me begin by saying this. I think it's actually, faith is easy. Faith is not complicated. Faith, to be a great person of faith, it doesn't mean you need to learn 10,000 complicated things. It usually means you've got to get rid of 10,000 unnecessary things and come to that simple place where there's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, the simple person believes every word he hears. Now, obviously in this world, we don't want to be that simple person, naive, who just believes everything they hear on TV, on the internet, whatever. But when it comes to God's word, I want to be simple and childlike. Where God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Glorious and powerful place to be. And I think faith is easy. In one sense, God gives us his word. God says, throw out your net for a catch. You do it. God says to Peter, walk on water. Peter steps out of the boat and walks on water. Faith is simply believing God's word and acting upon God's word. When we act upon the word of God, we will activate the word of God. When we act as if God's word is true, God will act as if his word is true. Now, life would be really simple if all we had to do is act upon God's word. Now, there's only really one problem most of us have, apart from our friends, is that doubts will come and attack our life. Peter's walking on water. He's walking on the water, but he's actually really walking on the word of God. What was holding up Peter that day, and I believe it's Matthew 12, wasn't water, it was the word of God. Peter said to Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said to Peter, come. There's enough word in the power of Jesus to hold you up. And I tell you, friends, no matter what you're walking through today, there's enough power in the words of Jesus to hold you up. That's worth meditating on for a minute. Peter's having a great time walking with Jesus on the water, but then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and puts them on the wind and the waves, and he begins to get a sinking feeling. We sink in the information we receive. And doubt will come, and doubt denies the veracity of the word of God. And again, I want to be really quick today, and I'm going to preach a full message on this weekend. But I believe we can learn to overcome our doubts. I actually think there's a place when doubts can even become useful. I'll try to finish with that one if I remember. But what is a doubt? Doubt actually comes from the Greek word for the number two. In French, the word for two is de. I believe, I don't speak Spanish, but maybe it's dois. Is that right? Help me, Spanish speakers. to doubt duo. We speak about a duo, like a two people maybe doing an act together, a duo. Doubt comes from that word too, and it really means to have two thoughts. It means to have the thought of God, come walk on the water, and the thought of Satan, or the thought of the world, or the tree of the knowledge of good or evil, you will sink. And Satan comes and he contradicts God's word. God says to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. Satan comes and he said, hath God said? Did God really say that? God knows that isn't exactly true. And you, it'll be great if you eat of the fruit. And he comes and he contradicts God. You know, it's not wrong to have doubts. And I really want you to catch this, guys. Everybody is going to have doubts at some time. So let me give you five keys to open this. Number one, I probably won't have the time to develop this, but it's a really great thought. There's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is really a posture of your heart. You can have an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is actually rebellion against God. It's sin. Yeah. When the 12 spies went into Israel, they took the same bus tour, they saw the same things, and they came back. It wasn't like 10 went north and 2 went south. They saw the same things. They came back. They'd all seen with their eyes the same sights, they'd all heard with their ears the same noises, but listen to me, guys, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your heart. And they came back. And they came, and everything the 10 spies said was accurate and truthful, but God said it was evil. And God called their report an evil report. Yeah, the writer to the Hebrews says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So unbelief is actually a heart that's in rebellion against God, a heart that won't submit itself to the word of God. That's one thing. Doubt is a different thing. Everybody's going to have doubts. Yeah, Jesus had doubts. You say, no, he didn't. He's perfect. Yes, Jesus was perfect, but Jesus had doubts. Yeah, let me show you that. In Luke 3 and 4, the Father speaks to Jesus and says, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus goes into the desert. He's fasting for 40 days. What does Satan come? Satan pulls the same number on Jesus he did on Adam. Satan comes to Jesus, and in effect, he says, hath God said? He said, if you're the Son of God. The Father says, you are my Son. Satan comes and he says, if you're the Son of God. And he tempts Jesus. He doesn't tempt Jesus with bread or a bungee jump off the temple or an easy way to bypass the cross. He tempts Jesus to doubt the word of his Father. And really, all doubt is simply that. It's Satan coming and tempting us to disbelieve the word of God. So everybody's going to get doubts. Jesus had doubts, but Jesus never gave in to the doubts. And Jesus dealt with the doubts. And we'll get in a moment to how he did that. So I want you to see that it's not wrong to have doubts. It's okay to have doubts. But it's wrong to stay with the doubts. It's wrong to let doubts sink into your heart. So you can overcome doubts. What we've got to do, where doubts become wrong, where doubts turn into unbelief and sinfulness, is when they go from our head into our heart. You know, in Mark 11, when Jesus is teaching that great lesson of faith from the fig tree, and then he says, forget fig trees. He said, if any of you will speak to this mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea, then Jesus said, and shall not doubt in his heart. Yeah, that's the key. Doubts become dangerous when they get into our heart. Now, all doubts, I want to suggest to you, start in our head. It's like a little thought, that won't work. That's not going to happen. God will fail. God won't heal. But whatever, a tiny little thought. And when you have a thought in your head, they're very easy to brush off. They're very easy to get rid of. They're very easy to dislodge. Once you start thinking about them, do you remember when Jesus spoke in Matthew 6 about sin? And he said, whosoever looks at a woman with lust in his heart has committed adultery with her. He didn't say with his head. So I'm a guy, most days, I'm going to be in a cafe, whatever, look and see some pretty woman and go like, whoa, isn't she pretty? That's not sin. Sin is when you take that thought and you keep thinking upon it until it gets into your heart. And suddenly you've engaged your heart, the center of your being with it, rather than having a little thought that you go, okay, that's fine. And you just brush it off and off we go. And what we need to learn to do is not allow doubts into our heart. How do we get God's word into our heart? We hear the word of God and we meditate upon it. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. The life to those who find it and health to all the flesh. That's how we get God's word in our heart. And we get doubt in our heart by thinking on it, by this will happen, this. We think about it until it sinks down into our being. So how do we overcome? Key number five, how do we overcome doubt? Number one, like Jesus did, yeah, we overcome doubt with the word of God. When Satan came and said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, Jesus, it's funny, he didn't relate to his experience. He didn't say, 40 days ago, I had a dramatic experience on the River Jordan. He said, it is written. It is written. I tell you guys, at times we have dramatic experiences with God and we're living in the euphoria that, wow, it's so wonderful, I feel God. That won't last. And if you base your faith on an experience you had with God, Satan can hoodwink you. But if you'll base your faith on this, yeah, Satan comes to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, Jesus says, it is written. It is written. It is written. He pushes the doubt out of the way and he states again, this is what God's word says. My friends, if Jesus needed to say, it is written, how much more do we? Secondly, we overcome doubt. I like to say this, when in doubt, worship. The problem is when you begin engaging in doubts, they pull you in. Satan is subtle. There's an old English saying that says you need a very long spoon to sup with the devil. And as Derek Prince used to say, the problem is nobody's ever created a spoon that long. Yeah, whenever you begin talking with Satan and entertaining and, well, maybe this is, he's gotcha. Yeah, what we need to do is stop engaging with the doubts. And what we actually need to do is come and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you even with my doubts, even with my fears. Lord, I thank you. You are who you say you are. And I just begin to step into that place of praise. There's an old song that says, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So worship. The third thing we can do to overcome doubts, it's an interesting thought this, is to create history. You know, there is a place in our walk with God where God's going to speak something to us that we've never heard before. We're going to take a step of faith. We're going to live a new experience with God. But the more we do that, the more we'll actually create personal history. There was a time in my life where God called me out to live my faith financially, and I had so many doubts and so many fears, and it was frankly like a battle for several years on the inside of me, and I overcame that with the word of God through worship. But I've actually come to a place where God has proved himself, where I can say, I know that I know that I know. I know that because of the word of God, but I know it because I built history with God. I proved him again and again and again. Jesus, Jesus, how I need thee, how I prove thee, o'er and o'er, the old hymn says. So begin building history with God. You say, Graham, I don't have any history with God. Well, start today. Begin building some history. And you can get to a place where doubts, I don't even entertain them over some things anymore. I just laugh at them because I've found out God is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he will do. Boom, Selah. I hope that's a help for you guys. Hey, back every day with new videos. Drop me a line if I can pray for you in any way, and blessings in Jesus' name. Check out the videos below and hit that subscribe button. Bye for now.